When we think about a great adventure, we expect action. We expect excitement. If you watch the latest James Bond movie or a Mission Impossible movie, you turn the movie on, what do you expect to happen? Something's going to explode right away. Something's going to happen to get your attention very quickly. Otherwise, it's a very slow and boring adventure. When we dream of adventure in our own lives, we expect that same thing. We expect excitement. We say, I want an adventure. I want something exciting to happen. But most real-life adventures begin much more slowly than Hollywood would have us believe. I think as we hear and share our own adventures with Jesus this month, as we light the Advent candle, we're going to see that. Most of us did not first encounter Jesus in an explosion of action. For many of us, it was a process of hearing his still small voice in our own lives. There were never any heroics or amazing miracles necessarily for most of us. We just met Jesus and we began to understand our need for him. And I think many of us, and I've talked to several of you, we feel inadequate at times sharing our testimonies, sharing our adventures, because we don't think they're exciting. How many of you could maybe relate to that? But the reality is most adventures begin slowly. Most adventures take time. And yes, there are a few among us who have what I would consider like a James Bond adventure with Jesus, where it just blows up in your face and it's really exciting to hear about. But most of us do not have that type of adventure. And that's okay, because most adventures start slowly and take time. In fact, as we look into the Christmas story this season, we find that even Jesus's advent on earth began kind of slowly. There was less pop and pizzazz, and honestly, more tortoise-like expectancy. It was a very slow-moving process. You read through the Old Testament, and God is preparing the people for his coming Messiah. He's preparing the people for Jesus' coming with prophecies, with hints and clues. And there's this excitement that builds and builds and builds, and yet nothing comes together. Nothing happens. In fact, if you get to the very end of the Old Testament, reading all of these predictions and all these prophecies, all these things pointing to Jesus, you come to the last two verses in the Old Testament. Well, this is the last chance to kind of point the way. And Malachi, his last two verses of his last chapter, he points to Jesus. Malachi 4 through 5, 5 and 6 says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." It's kind of a negative perspective, but essentially God says, I'm promising I'm going to send you another Elijah. I'm going to send you this Elijah character who's going to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord, to prepare people for the Messiah. He's going to get their hearts ready. And if they don't get their hearts ready, it's not going to go so well for them. But the very last thing the Old Testament says is, I'm going to send someone to help you get ready. The adventure is coming. And then you turn the page, and there's 400 years of silence. For 400 years, the crickets sound. You go, well, where is the adventure? For 400 years, the people wait expectantly until one day a guy goes to work. If you ever looked at the Christmas story, that's how it kind of starts. A guy goes to work. Now, how many of you are going to work tomorrow? And I know you jump out of bed going, adventure begins today on Monday. For those of you who are retired, you kind of laugh because you're like, ha, I don't have to. But honestly, no one gets up on a Monday morning and says, wow, adventure begins today. I'm going to work. After years of hearing nothing, a guy gets up and he heads to work, and the world begins to change. That's how the Christmas story really begins. We're going to look in Luke's gospel this morning as he records the Christmas story. Luke starts chapter 1, verse 1. He introduces his book, and in verse 5, he begins the story. And it goes like this. Luke says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. And they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. This is how the story begins. Zechariah, an old man, he serves as a priest. He gets to go to work. Now, there's some interesting details here. It says his family is in the division of Abijah, and I know we all go, wow, that's fascinating. Thank you so much for telling me that, because it really means nothing to most of us. Some background here. Back in the good old days, when King David was king and things were thriving in Israel, they had too many priests. As the priestly families were having children and children and grandchildren, they were getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so they realized we have too many priests. They can't all serve at the same time. And so David decided what they would do is they would take all of the priestly families and divide them into 24 groups. And they would rotate when they would serve. That way, no priestly family was neglected from fulfilling their duty, and no priestly family would kind of monopolize the temple either. They would take turns. And so there are 24 groups, and they would rotate. And so what we see happening at the beginning of this story is old Zechariah is heading out to work because it's his family's time to serve. And there's probably some excitement here on his behalf. You think he only gets to serve at the temple about twice a year. So he's probably a little psyched that he actually gets to go to work, more so than most of us on Monday. And then he gets there, and what they would do, because even with splitting them into 24 groups, there were still too many priests coming during that week. So they would draw lots to see who got to do which job. You know, some of them got boring jobs probably, and some of them got more exciting jobs, I'd imagine. But they would cast lots, kind of roll the dice to see who got which jobs, basically allowing God to call who he would have serve that week. And so Zechariah, it says, got his lot was called that he actually got to go into the temple and light incense to be part of the worship ceremony. And so he's probably pretty excited, but again, he's just going to work. How many of you are excited about a Monday morning going to work? This is how adventure begins. And yet this is how adventure began for him and for us. The story continues as he goes in to do his service. Verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. The angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring many of the people of Israel back to their Lord, the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah is going about his routine, going about his job, serving God, burning the incense, and suddenly things get very interesting. The angel shows up with a profound message. You're going to have a son. And if that's all the angel had said, that would have been enough for Zechariah. Remember, it said he's old. They have no children. This is something he desires. That would have been enough. But he says, you're going to have a son in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Your son is going to turn the hearts of the people back to God. Now, Zechariah, being a good, godly man, would have known the words of Malachi. He would have known all these predictions, and he would have known this is it. This is what they've been waiting hundreds of years to hear. The adventure that everyone has been waiting for has officially begun. His son is going to be the one to prepare everyone for the Messiah. And at this point, everybody should be jumping on board. Everybody should say, this is adventure. This is exciting. Let's get going. But the adventure is only kind of beginning. Obviously, his son John the Baptist, as we know, he's going to be born. He's going to fulfill his calling. But the real adventure that we would think of, the real start of the Messiah's ministry, it's still years away. So the adventure begins, but not exactly. Even after the angel appears, there's still a sense of waiting. There's still a sense of expectancy. The angel says, hey, your son is the forerunner for the Messiah. This is the guy you've been waiting for. This is exciting. But can you put yourself in John's shoes? What questions do you find yourself asking? Okay, so once my son is old enough, because he can't be the forerunner when he's two, once he's old enough to start doing his calling, what's he actually going to do? How will he turn people's hearts back to God? How will he prepare the way? And how long after he starts do we actually have to wait for the Messiah? Because that's the person we really want to see. And what's this Messiah going to look like? They have expectations, they have assumptions, but what will the Messiah look like? What does all of this mean? I think Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they're going to get really excited. It's starting, but still, what does it mean? And we have to wait. In fact, when John is born 9 months later, those who hear about him ask the very same questions. If you drop down to Luke 1, verse 66, it says, everyone who heard about this wondered, saying, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. The adventure was well underway, but it wasn't clear yet. There was more expectancy than there was adventure and explosion and excitement. And yet that didn't stop those there from getting involved and from living out the adventure, even in the expectancy part of it. And so what I wanted to do today is just start our adventure through Advent looking at the story, because I think and I believe that you and I are in the same place that Zechariah, Elizabeth, and all of their neighbors were then. Where they were living then is where we find ourselves today. We're on the other side of the Advent adventure, but we're still in the season of expectancy. So we celebrate Advent because we know what happened. We're reflecting on what happened. We know that our Messiah, our Savior, has come, and we're celebrating his incarnation. We're celebrating the truth that God stepped into humanity, stepped into flesh to be our Savior. We know who John came to prepare us for. We know all of this. We know who Jesus was and what he did. We know that he was the only Son of God, come to be born at Christmas, come to go to the cross, to die on the cross for our sins, to give his life for ours, and then be raised again. This season, we're going to be reflecting on our own adventures with Jesus, how we've come to experience him, how he has saved us, how he has changed our lives, for most of us, past tense. Toby this morning shared his story about how he experienced Jesus and how Jesus changed him previously. But is that it? Is that where we stop? Jesus in Matthew 24 speaks to his disciples some words that I think should resonate with us this morning. Matthew 24, verses 3 through 14, says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these things are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because of the increase of wickedness, and the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Much like Zechariah and Elizabeth, we are called to live in expectancy. For most of us, we've met our Lord and Savior Jesus. We talk about our adventure, our experience, our testimony with Jesus. Our lives have been changed because of Jesus. Our adventure has begun. But in the day-to-day, in the post-salvation life that we live, it can be monotonous. Just kind of going to work on Monday morning. Well, I know Jesus, but I got to go to work tomorrow. And we go, that's not the adventure I dream of. Yes, we love Jesus, but eternity with him is kind of a long way off. And so for many times, I think we kind of get stuck between the then of meeting Jesus and coming to know him as our Savior. We get stuck between the then and the there of eternity. We say, well, I'm just kind of in that middle period. I'm just waiting to get to heaven, and I'm just living out this life. But Jesus told the disciples, and he tells us here, essentially the same thing the angels telling Zechariah. It's starting. Live in expectancy of what God is doing and will do. Zechariah, your son is going to be this forerunner, being this person you've been waiting for, but you've got to wait for all this to happen. But live in expectancy. This is a good thing. And Jesus says to us, the end is coming. You will be with me. I am returning, but you need to live in expectancy of it happening. Jesus says, I am coming again, and these are the signs of my coming. We look out into the world and we see nation rising against nation. We see wars, we see famine, we see earthquakes, we see persecution, false teachers, we see people's hearts growing cold. We see the gospel of Jesus going out among the nations. If you were here last Sunday, Travis from YWAM, one of our missionaries, came and he told us that I think next week there are 70 students going out to 3 countries to share the word of Jesus, to tell people about Jesus. We see these things happening, and then Jesus says, the end will come. All of these things have to happen. It takes time. The next major stage in our adventure will come when Jesus returns. But we're called to live in expectancy. We're called to live out that in reality today, not just dragging our feet and, oh, I'm waiting for it to happen, but I'm living with adventure. I'm living with excitement. Most of us can easily talk about where we've been. Many of us can talk about our adventure, our testimony of how we met Jesus. And I'm so excited we're going to hear some of those this season. Most of us can talk about that. So this is where I've been. Many of us can talk about where we're going. Look, I have an eternal future with Jesus. I'm going to be in paradise one day. I can talk about where I've been, and I can talk about where I'm going. But how good are we, or how are we living between those two realities? I know where I've been, I know where I'm going, but how am I living between those two realities? Are we living in expectancy of God working and of God moving, of Christ returning? Or are we just kind of walking out our days, maybe dragging our feet, kind of just going through lethargy, saying, oh, I'm here, I know where I've been, I know where I'm going, but now I'm just kind of stuck in this middle waiting season? In other words, I think we could quote Jesus and say, is your love growing cold? Jesus says, I am coming again, and you are to live in expectancy. You are to live in excitement. The adventure continues living out each day. And so as we come into this Christmas season, this Christmas countdown, I simply want to ask the question, how are we living? How are you living out each day? Time seems to go faster and faster and faster, and it's very easy for us to get into routines, to get into a rut. We look forward to this time of year because it's special. We love all of the tradition and all of the celebration, but do those traditions, do the way we celebrate, do these things kind of just get us into more of a rut going through the motions, or do they help us to refocus on the adventure that we are called to live? Does our Christmas celebration help us to get excited and expectant about what God is doing today, to be excited about Jesus returning? And so I would challenge you this week, in whatever time you decide to take, just take a step back and simply ask the question, am I living in expectation? Am I excited about what God is doing in my life and in the world today? Or am I just kind of going through the motions, waiting for Christmas morning and then the next Christmas and the next Christmas until I'm with Jesus again? Is my life with Jesus more than just knowing my past and my future? Am I walking through each day with joy, saying today is a new day? Today is an adventure that I can live for Jesus. I know where I've been, I know where I'm going, but today the adventure continues. Am I expectantly awaiting Jesus' return? And so I want to close service today. We're actually going to watch a music video just to give us some time to reflect on that question. I want you to listen to the words of Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Say, Jesus is coming both at Christmas, but also again. How am I living? Am I excited for his return? Am I living a life of joy?